Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 10 this morning. This is the last of our sermons in the Close Encounter with Jesus series. And I want to just say thank you for the many comments that have been shared with me about this series that has meant a lot to you. And it's meant a lot to me. I've learned some new things about the stories of Christ and the gospel that I needed to see. Now, next week, we're going to be starting a new series. It's the series is entitled Inseparable. And it's on Romans chapter 8. We will be looking at Romans chapter 8 for 5 consecutive Sundays. And Allison, that last song that we sing needs to be the theme song of our series for the next 5 weeks. All right? So that was that's a perfect song. Well, we are all, I know, very familiar with the Good Samaritan story. And it's always a challenge to preach on one of these messages when it's so familiar to us. But God showed me some things about this story that I hadn't realized this before as I was preparing this sermon this week. We know the message is clear that we need to be kind to one another, that everyone is our neighbor, but the story is deeper than that. And I trust that God's going to open all of our eyes this morning as we look at this very famous passage of Scripture. So Luke chapter 10, I want to begin with verses 25 through 29. 25 says this, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.'" A lawyer is asking Jesus a question to test Jesus' theology. And he asks the question mainly because he wants to show his own self-righteousness and justify himself, his behavior, in the eyes of Jesus. And so he asks Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" I mean, that's the big tip-off right there. He thinks that to be a Christian, to have eternal life in God's kingdom, it requires something on his part. "What must I do, Jesus, to inherit the kingdom, to inherit eternal life?" And the man, Jesus asks, "Well, what does the law say?" And so he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus answers, "You are correct. If you do those things, you will live." Is Jesus teaching a works righteousness in this passage of Scripture? If we just do good, we're going to be able to go to heaven? That's the question this morning that I want us to look at. Jesus knew the answer, what was happening in this man's heart. And he thought that if he could just do these things, to love God with all his heart and love his neighbor as himself, that he would go to heaven. And Jesus knows that it is impossible for us to love God completely with all of our hearts. How many of you have always loved God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? All the time? No. And Jesus knew that that wasn't the case in this man's life. And instead of quoting that scripture and hearing the answer from Jesus, this lawyer, this self-righteous, self-made righteous man should have said, Jesus, I can't live up to that. I haven't loved God with everything I am all of my life. I haven't loved all my neighbors the way, God, that you love me. You know, I fall so far short, Jesus. And he should have been crying grace and mercy on his life, but instead, you know, he's promoting his self-righteousness. And then he asks a question of Jesus in chapter 10, at verse 29. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" He wanted to get the answer from Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Jesus, tell me where I can draw the line in the sand as to who I need to love. But more importantly, what the man wanted to know was, Jesus, who do I not have to love? You know, who am I to love? But really, I want to know who I don't have to love. I want to live within the boundaries. I want to live within the parameters of loving you and loving my neighbor. So tell me, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus, seeing this man full of himself, shares this story about the Good Samaritan. And as Jesus shares this story, we need to understand that this is an evangelistic story. Jesus is trying to point out that, sir, you can't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You aren't loving your neighbor as yourself. And this story is meant to bring this individual to the end of himself, but not only the lawyer, but to us. As we read this story, this is an evangelistic story, helping us to know that we can't do this on our own, that Jesus has to intervene. So let's read verses 30 through 37. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he had come to that place and saw this man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Here we see in this passage of scripture that a man is on the side of the road. He's been beaten. He's been left for dead. He's helpless. He cannot help himself. And we don't know if this man is a Samaritan or if he's a Jew. Jesus doesn't tell us in this part of the story. But there were some people who passed by. One was a priest. You can imagine this man on the side of the road seeing this priest come down the road from Jerusalem. I'm sure that this man on the side of the road, he must have hope in his heart. Oh, finally, someone is going to help me. A priest of all people. What luck I have today. He's going to come and help me in my time of need. And what does the Bible say? He avoids him. He takes a detour of this man and passes on by. And then there's the Levite. A Levite is kind of like a deacon in the synagogue. You know, the priest is the main person, and the Levite is there to help in the service, be a help to the priest. And the Levite, oh, here's my chance, and the man, the Levite passes by and ignores the man half dead on the side of the road. And then the third person passes by. It's not a Jew. It's a Samaritan. And as Jesus is telling this story to this lawyer, this religious person, he doesn't even like to hear the word Samaritan. In Jews' minds, the only good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. The Jews hate the Samaritans. And the reason why they hate them is because they're half Jews. When Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians and and Israel fell to the Assyrians, there were some Jews that remained and weren't taken off into captivity, and those who remained intermarried with foreigners. And so those generations that grew up were half Jews. And so when the Jews from Babylonia came back from captivity, here they saw their these people who had compromised what the law said, because the law said you're not to marry outside the Jewish race. And there were all these people who had watered down the covenant, who were labeled Samaritans, and they were ostracized from the Jewish community who had come back from captivity. And these Jews absolutely hated the Samaritans and didn't want to have anything to do with them. They wouldn't even pass through the region. They would detour around Samaria so that they wouldn't have to encounter Samaritans. And so here Jesus in the story says a Samaritan comes by this man who is half dead on the road. And the Bible says he has compassion. He has feelings for what this man is going through. In verse 34, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I mean, this Samaritan went the extra mile. This Samaritan did something that in a Jew's mind was unfathomable. This person that Jews wanted to ignore God sees. Jesus is telling this story that this is what this Samaritan did. This person whom Jews draw a line concerning and don't want to have anything to do with, God says, I see and I love you. I appreciate what you're doing. This Samaritan in whom Jews have no compassion shows compassion. This Samaritan who is treated like less than a human being is being a human being to someone in need. And what did this Samaritan do? He went the extra mile. He went to a place where an innkeeper could continue to care for him. Verse 35 says, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. This compassion, this care, this love, this rescue cost this man himself to care for the person in need. Does this story remind you of somebody else? It needs to remind us of Jesus. It needs to remind us of what Jesus is about to do in the Gospels. For us to appreciate the story of the Good Samaritan, it's more than just doing good to other people. It's appreciating all that Jesus has done for you and I. Because we are the man who was in the road, beaten, left for dead. Actually, though, we're more than just half dead. The Bible says that before we knew Christ, we were completely spiritually dead. We could not do anything for ourselves. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's not on the screen this morning, but if you have your Bibles, look at Ephesians chapter 2, describing our lives before Christ found us. Paul says this, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but I love that word, but because of the great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We are products of the grace of God, church. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you knew that you were a sinner separated by God and you needed a Savior and you cried out to Him, Christ save us. And He did it all for us. It's really hard for a dead person to rescue themselves, to save themselves. That's the gospel. The gospel is all about what Jesus did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And we were that person on the side of the road whom Jesus saw and felt compassion for. And unlike the Samaritan who gave a part of himself away for this man's restoration, Jesus gave all of himself for our rescue, for our salvation. And so Jesus tells the story, and when, in telling the story, he's not answering the question, who's my neighbor? Jesus is really answering the first question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And there's nothing that you and I can do to inherit eternal life. This man who was beaten, left for dead, could not help himself. Had the Samaritan not intervened, this person would probably have died. He couldn't help himself. And that's you and I. We couldn't help ourselves as either. And so, in answering the question, who is my neighbor? You can't find any loopholes in this story. There's no lines drawn in the sand. When Jesus talked about the Samaritan, whom the lawyer hated, of all people to help this person on the side of the road, it was a Samaritan. Jesus is saying there can't be any lines. The Samaritan went beyond the racial boundary. If this person on the side of the road was dead or a Jew, went beyond the racial boundary and helped this person. In other words, everyone is our neighbor. But you know what? Jesus didn't answer that question. Jesus asks the question, who was this man? Who was this Samaritan? Or who was the person who was the neighbor to? And the lawyer couldn't even say the word Samaritan. He said, the one who showed mercy. And that's the question for you and I. Who are we being a neighbor to? And it's not just to the people that we like, that we prefer to love and minister to. It's not just about, well, whether it's convenient for me to be a neighbor. We need to be aware of needs that are around us every single day. And sometimes it's really inconvenient. I think about the group that went hiking up to the top of Mount Whitney yesterday. There were 13 people who hiked Mount Whitney yesterday. And there were three groups. There was two groups. One group went on Friday night. They left at 6 o'clock at night. And they were to hike all night and hopefully get up to the top, the summit, by sunrise the next morning. Well, they didn't all make it. Two people made it. Stephen, what's Stephen's last name? Stephen. Friedrich. Stephen Friedrich and Neil Japp. Neil's here I can't believe Neil's here this morning. But they made it to the top of Mount Whitney. There was another group comprised of my two boys and Caleb Meyer and Mark Meyer. And they made it almost to the top of the 99 switchbacks and had to turn back. And then there was a third group, and I'm not sure, did they make it to trail camp? They got to trail camp and then had to turn around because they were getting altitude sickness. And so they showed back up at the trailhead at 9 o'clock in the morning. I thought, man, you guys are quick. You're already done. And unfortunately, some of them got sick. Well, one in the group chose to be a good Samaritan. And that was, Stephen over here. He had enough strength. He had enough energy that he could have made it to the top of the mountain. But he sacrificed his desire for the good of the group that had to go back. And he went with the group back down to the trailhead to make sure that they got there safely. That's being a good Samaritan. You know, as we look at this story, church, you know, Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. And we can't do that for everybody. I see needs around me, and be honest with you, sometimes I just get selfish. I'm like that priest, or I'm like that Levite, and I'm busy, and I've got other things to do, or I've got other priorities in my life, and I miss an opportunity. You know, in Jesus telling this story, I'm so glad that it isn't dependent upon me being a good Samaritan all the time for me to obtain eternal life. Because it is absolutely impossible. And I know that you're the same way. You know, we're oftentimes like the priest and the Levite. And we've got other priorities. But Jesus is reminding us in this passage of scripture to be neighborly. To go and do likewise. And know your salvation is not dependent on it. But as you remind yourself of all that Jesus has done for you, that as he has sacrificed for you, as he has given you his everything for your rescue, that ought to motivate us to be kind to others, to be sacrificial. And when you fail, don't let the enemy beat yourself up. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But when we do good, it's an opportunity to be a testimony of what Jesus has done in our life. This is the message of the Good Samaritan. You can't obtain righteousness through what you do. It is an impossibility. And yet this, the scripture doesn't tell us if the lawyer came to the end of himself or not. But for you and I, we need to come to the end of ourselves. That there's nothing that we can do. This man on the side of the road was absolutely helpless and needed someone to rescue him. A Samaritan. And we were lost in our trespasses and sin, and we needed a Savior. And that was in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. So who is there around you? Who is the Lord opening your eyes to? And you're probably thinking to yourself, Pastor, there are a lot of people in my life that I need to be a good Samaritan to. And I know you can't possibly be a good Samaritan to everyone, but be a good Samaritan to someone. Start with one and make a difference in their life. Be a testimony of who Jesus has been in your life. And as you do, the Good Samaritan story will come alive in your life. Let's pray. Father, who do you want us to be a neighbor to? Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't draw a line in front of any of us. Your love and your grace exceeded all of our sinfulness, even when we were rebellious and at our absolute worst, not thinking of you, God. Jesus died for us. Jesus was extending his love and his grace and the gift of salvation. Friend, if you're here today and you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus and you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Jesus couldn't possibly forgive me. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus knows all that you've done. Every bit of it. And his grace and his love and his blood far exceeds his sinfulness, your sinfulness. And by faith, if you just cry out to God, Jesus, save me, he'll hear that cry. He'll answer that prayer. And you move from being his creation to his child. And he's your father. You need to make that commitment today. Make it right where you're at. In the quietness of this moment. God, save me. I believe you died for me. I believe you came from that grave 3 days later. God, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And then Christian, can you just say thank you, Jesus, for your great rescue? Help me to be compassionate to others as you've shown compassion to me. It's a difficult thing, but God can help you do it. And you'll be a testimony of who Jesus is and has been in your life. Father, thank you for this story this morning. Help us to do good. Not because it can save us, because it can't. But because, Jesus, you saved us. May it motivate us, inspire us to do good to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.